Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right, Ephesians 1, are you there? Today we're opening up a sermon series. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be doing a sermon series called There Must Be More. And, I've been sensing from the Lord that I was supposed to speak on this for a few months now. I've just been kind of waiting for when I felt like was the right time. And, I've been watching, there's that Proverbs 29 says, my people perish for lack of vision. You know, what's really interesting is I've been in just the day, the hour that we're living in, I tell my wife all the time, just about like how many phone calls or experiences that I'm having, just not just in our local church, but I just mean globally, where I'm being invited in as a leader, and situations I'm invited to speak into where so many people are falling into the traps of sin. Marriages are failing. I literally got a friend the other day, ministry called me and goes, dude, I know 12 people in my ministry right now whose marriages are falling apart. We're probably seeing more of that these things than ever. People that I know that are just completely sold out, their face like against the wall for the purposes of the kingdom, that are falling into steep depression, completely hopeless and just wandering. And I've been asking the Lord, Lord, what are you doing? And I keep coming back to Proverbs 29, my people perish for a lack of vision. And generally speaking, I just feel like there's this overall sense where people are losing vision of the assignment and the purpose for which they are alive. They've lost like the reality of the nature of God, the presence of God, the reality of eternity. That has hung over their life. They've become so distant from it that they're perishing from vision. I think a lot of people are asking the question, what am I doing? Because they've lost vision of the more that's available. And I think there's overall a sense where so many believers are being invited right now. I'm going to say a word that I'm going to say a lot. You ready? I'm going to say a really, really important word. You guys ready for this? I think overall, in the course of decades of Christianity and church that we've all been born and raised, and even if you weren't raised in it, you watched it from afar, we have watched an incredibly powerful incredibly powerless version of Christianity that's been seeded into America, where we do not take ownership for our own salvation. We allow somebody else to do it for us. And if you have vision, I'll ride on the back of your vision. Whatever environment you create, I will allow it to create the environment of my Christian walk in my faith. But the reality is, I think there's a chasm for many believers that have no idea that there is so much more. There's so much more to God. There's so much more to your faith. There's so much more to your existence. There's so much more going on behind the veil of your life. You think it's just all like things that are happening in the natural, but you don't even realize the events, the orchestra, the opera of spiritual things that are happening behind the veil of the spiritual realm. There's so much more to the nature of God. There's so much more to who you are. There's so much more to who you've been created to be. And we have to become so provoked to the more that's available to us. When you consider eternity, that beyond this temporal existence, that there, outside of the timeline of this life, that there is an eternal realm that is outside of time and space. There's no day, there is no night, where every generation that was before and every generation that is to come is existing before the throne of heaven, staring, gazing, and ministering to the glory of the uncreated glory of God that sits upon the throne. There is a realm of eternity that's more real than the experience that you're living in right now. I think when you consider the glory of God, that everything that exists, exists because of Him and Him alone. That the very reason why you breathe, The very reason why you're alive. The very reason why that there is literally an invisible realm of science and particles that you can't see that's holding everything together has all been orchestrated by the glory of God and gives glory to God. That not only did he create what we see, but he created the firmaments and he created the heavens all around us and how everything works day and night, night and day. Every morning when the sun arises, giving glory to God. And every day that it sets, it's setting, giving glory to the Lord. Everything radiates his beauty and reflects his nature. When you consider our identity and that we were created in the midst of the seas that are rolling and coming back, in the midst of babies crying, in the sound of how the way that our bodies were formed to give life and to breathe in the glory of God and to breathe out the glory of God and to give birth to children and generations and to be the answer and the resolution to build and create with our hands and to sustain families and to create marital covenants and build families and homes and households, to rule over nations, to rule over animal and to have so much authority. And we were invited to be the ones that would be able to commune with him, to know him. And not only that, but to become carriers of his glory. When you consider your identity and who you are and the power that you carry. Amen. When you consider all the pain of life that we go through, losing loved ones, things that we can't explain, the war. I mean, you don't have to look far of the gnashing of teeth in culture, the raging of ideologies, the attempt to bring unity to people that are so diverse. When you look at death and sorrow and disease and pain, when you look at the things that we can't make sense of and shootings and all the things of this life, clearly this has not just been made by human nature. Obviously, there's a realm that we can't see that is orchestrating pain and brokenness. When you consider the fragility of life and how we only have so much time, all of these things, when you consider it all, how many of you guys know there must be more? Amen. There must be more. There must be so much more. We have to be promoted for so much more to this life because there's more happening beyond the veil than we're living in the constant reality of. I'll be honest, there's a huge part of me that sees like Christians just being so ho-hum about their walk with Jesus. It just makes me want to get into physical altercations. I want to bring you to the point where you know that there's so much more that you have to cry out for. I'm just kidding. I'm not threatening. Something's got to get you there, friends. If I can be a messenger, just kidding. How many of you guys know that without eyes on the more, it's hard to make sense of the experiences that we're having in this life? So much confusion. And when we begin to entertain confusion, we sow doubt into our, not only into our belief, but we also sow distance into our fellowship with God. And when we sow distance into our fellowship with God, we begin to fall out of the rhythm for our very existence. And we begin to fall into an even deeper pattern of unimaginable confusion of who we are and what we were created for. I want to read two passages to you. They're kind of long. They're not super long, but maybe longer than the normal 60-minute church service verse that would be read for a sermon. But can we just read these really quick? Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to read two apostolic prayers. These prayers are prayers that Paul himself was praying for the church of Ephesus. Understand this, though, about the letter of Ephesus. The letter of Ephesus is one of only a couple letters that were written that were not just written to a city. They were written to a city for that city to pass on to the other cities. So this is actually one of the letters saying this is so chock full of theology that was to empower the local church, and it was given to Ephesus to spread around to the churches of other regions. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, it it says, he says this, he goes, "Therefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness." Everyone say exceeding greatness. "What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and powers, might and dominion, in every name that is to be named, not only in this age, but also in the age that is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and in all." Here Paul prays, he goes, "I'm asking that you would get the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit to unveil and reveal wisdom far beyond your capacity, that you would understand what the exceeding greatness of his power is." What is exceeding greatness? It's that everything that is named and can be named would be placed under his feet, and that and all of his glory and all of his power would exist in earthen vessels, and that if it's under his feet, then it would be under our feet, and that we would become the fullness of God in the earth, and that we would actually have the authority to rule over every principality and power. I am asking that God would turn the light bulbs of your understanding on so that you would understand how far and how great this revelation is. That's what he's praying. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. He prays this again. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family of heaven and earth has been named, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, that you would be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly," everyone say exceedingly abundantly. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever." He prays again and he goes, "Man, you don't get it. I pray that you would understand what is the width, the depth, the height, how far, how expansive and how wide his love for you really is." And he goes, "I'm asking that you would, that you through revelation knowledge, that you would be filled." I mean, think about this. Filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all of the fullness of God. Clearly, there must be more. There has to be more. All of him. To him be the glory in the church forever. You know what's really interesting is he prays that. Did you know that these letters were not written with chapters, titles, verses, numbers? It was one letter. Can we remove the numbers for a second and keep reading? He prays this and he says, "So therefore..." Let me give you something I tell all of our people. If you see the word therefore, you have to ask yourself, what is it there for, right? It's a continuation of thought. Everything I just said is for the purpose of what I'm about to say. I am praying this. "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you," I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling for which you are called. The reality is this: the manner in which we live will reflect what we believe is possible and available. The recognition of more makes the experiences of this life make sense. It adds purpose to pain and clarity to confusion. He says, "I'm asking you, I'm beseeching you, I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you, if you really understand that Jesus has made it possible, that the power of God in the earth..." Guys, like Team Doc, right? If we all believe God's powerful. Okay. Woo! So you have to like go back to the beginning here. Okay, all right. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Do you believe he has the ability to raise kings up and lower them down?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Do you believe he has the ability to begin and end days, lives, and existence?
Yes.
Do you believe he has the ability to bring justice to the poor and to the broken?
Yes.
Do you believe he has the ability to turn everything on a dime in your life?
Yes.
He has the ability to work signs, wonders, and miracles.
Yes.
He can raise the dead, cast out demons. He can heal the sick. We're all on the same page. All right. Let me find it. Oh, wait, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that you just said that you agree with. According to the power that works in us. Okay, so you have to understand is that everything that we believe he is possible, he works in and through believers, not outside of you. Do you realize that there's so much more to the life that you're living? Jesus has made a way for all the fullness of God to dwell inside of you. He has created you with the capacity to host his presence and his glory in a way that you have never felt, seen, or experienced yet to this life, in this life. There is so much more that is available. And he goes, so I'm asking you, I'm begging you and pleading you walk worthy of that call. I'm asking you to live with the everyday awareness of what's been made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ that has torn the veil and has placed the very spirit of the living God inside of you. I'm asking you, walk worthy of that call. Live a life that lives in continual recognition and understanding that there's more going on than I can see with my eyes. That every day I'm taking ownership of my salvation, that my salvation was not just the seal for eternity, it was a seal now that I would taste and see eternity now for eternity. Eternity doesn't start the day that I die, it starts the day that I met Jesus. I was given a down payment for what's to come, that I get to experience eternity now, not the day that I die. And all that is in heaven, and all that I will see, and all that I will taste, and all that I will experience is not just something to look forward to, it's something that I have access to in this life. And when I realize that, and I realize I have become a clashing point between heaven and earth, and hell and earth, and heaven and earth has all been clashed upon my life, please understand that because of that reality, that there is an opportunity for me to live and take ownership of what's been made available. Is this making sense? I love that little practice that we did. Now I'm getting big. Yes, like all together. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It's my last verse before we land this plane. This is just an introduction to what we're going to be going over, and I want to go into what we're going to start talking about in weeks to come. Are you guys excited to get into this?
Amen.
Come on. Hebrews 12, verse 1. I'm going to read another long one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily ensnared us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How many of you guys know that you cannot lay aside every weight and throw off the sin that so unceasingly snares us unless you have a race that you're running?
Yeah.
Too many believers are running no race, and they have no power or ability to throw off the things that are weighing upon them. My people perish for lack of vision. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed. I love this. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed and striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to us as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For when the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Do you guys realize that when you understand that there's more going on, you will understand that chastening is not wrath, it is love.
Yeah.
It brings purpose to pain and clarity to confusion. It becomes an anchor that we bind ourselves to in pain, of seasons of difficulty and hardship and striving, knowing that he loves his sons and he rebukes those that he loves. Do not lose sight of this. For if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of whom all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us for what that seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may become partakers, man, that we may become partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. He says, I'm asking you to understand that Jesus was running a race of righteousness. Consider him and what he endured, for now he sits at the right hand of the Father. For the joy set before him, he endured the difficulties. When we do not have the vision that there's more, when we don't have the anchor of more, we lose sight of what we're doing and what the things that are going on around us are unto. Without the anchor of more beyond the veil, we will not bind ourselves, hold ourselves accountable to seeking and pursuing the greater things. Question is, you're building a family. What are you building your family unto? Because if you don't know what you're building your family unto, then you're going to get really confused when family gets hard. When family isn't pretty, when it's not clean, when it's not easy, and you're building family, you're going to ask the question, why am I doing this? What are we doing? And when we begin to ask that question with no vision for the more, there's so much opportunity for the deception of the perishable lack of vision to come into our lives. And we begin to respond to moments with no clarity, no vision, and we begin to control our environments, and we begin to host pain, and we alter the direction of our lives. You're married. What are you married unto? You're resisting sin in your life. Why? What are you hosting righteousness unto? Because the church told you? Or because you have a vision that there's so much more available in him? And it's caused me to lose an appetite for the things that are at war with my soul. Single people, you're saving yourself for marriage. Why? Because Christians told you to and you're trying to live up to the standard? Or because you want to build a holy altar of sacrifice for your marriage to host the presence of God and that your life would be a gift unto the Lord? You're creating wealth and working every day. You're creating wealth unto what? What are you pursuing with your wealth? Making your spouse happy? Trying to provide a nostalgic childhood for your children? Some sort of sense of fulfillment? Or did you realize that actually God's given you the ability to create wealth, to steward a move of the Holy Spirit, and to take care of orphans and widows and to expand the kingdom of heaven all over the earth? What are you building wealth unto? Because you're going to get dry, weary, and tired, and you're going to become so discouraged in your soul when you're giving everything you have to build wealth, but it's unto nothing. You're tending your mind and your soul. Things are getting difficult. You don't know what to do. There's some inner healing issues. Things are coming up. You're facing depression, anxiety, and worry. What are you tending your soul unto? Is it because you know that your soul is actually a living room to host God himself in, and that your thoughts are meant to be thoughts that host the presence of God, and that you're actually tending an inner life and an inner man? What does he say in Ephesians? I pray that God would grant you strength in your inner man, right? Why? so that you'd understand the hope of his calling, that you'd understand who you are, so that all the fullness of God could dwell inside of you. If you realize that God wants to make you whole so that you will remain whole and you could host his presence in a significant way, what are you tending your life unto? Man, maybe there's a thing, you need to go see a counselor. Maybe you're like, unto what? Why pay the money? Why go see the pastor? Why sit and process my emotions? Why get healing? Because God created you to be whole. And when you are whole, you can host his presence and you can actually steward the things he's put into your hand, and your own pain and your own fear and your own anxiety will stop sabotaging what God has for you. Help you break through that ceiling, because there's so much more in this life. There's more joy, there's more peace, there's more presence that he has available for you. Come on, let's get whole. Yes. Yes. Do you guys realize is that the vision for the exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could think or imagine that Jesus has made available is the vision that every Baleener has to take ownership. Everyone say ownership. Of my walk with the Lord is saying, I'm going to live for the more. I'm going to pursue the more. What is the more? The more is the fullness of God, that you were created to commune with God. You get to hear the voice of God. I mean, do you have a vision yet that your nighttime, when you're sleeping on your bed, could become a sanctuary that the God of all the universe wants to sit with you and speak to you and minister to your soul as you sleep? That everywhere you go, you get to host the presence of God, and that so much so that the people around you would begin to feel a presence that they have never felt in their life because of what is emanating from yours. Amen. You were created to host the fullness of God. How about love? You are so much more than you ever knew that you were. He prays this, I pray that you would understand the width, the depth, the height of the love of God that he has for you. That if you would, the painful process of actually sitting and looking upon the wounds of Jesus. Can I just give you a little nugget here for a second? Did you know that when Jesus, the flesh was stripped from his body, he was the king of all creation. He was, you know, when we think of kings, we think of beautiful men who wear robes of scarlet and crowns of gold upon their head. But Jesus was the king, and his throne was not made of gold, it was made of wood. And he was not in the presence of the wealthy, he was in the presence of criminals. And the crown on his head was not made of gold, it was made of thorns. And the robe around his neck was not made of scarlet, it was made of his own blood and flesh. And literally before he was, as he was getting ready to die, or as he had already died, they took a spear and they pierced his side, and blood and water poured from his side. Did you know that in that moment, that blood and water poured from his side, that wound became a womb that you and I would be born from? Where blood, the water was broken, blood poured out so that you could become born again from the very wounds that were in the side of Jesus. And you were not just born into a lost family, you were born into the Trinity as a child of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you're invited into eternal fellowship with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is why Jesus prayed, may they be one together in us. Because you are being born into a glorious family. His love made a way for you to be born through the wounds of Jesus, and that you would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus from that salvation experience. Do you understand the width, the depth, and the height that you are loved? In any moment where the enemy tries to come and say that you are not worth it, you are broken, you're forever broken, you'll never be enough, what you've done was too much, and he comes with all these accusations of your identity and your nature, did you know that there is so much more to who you are than the enemy has ever let you know? The love of God is what shapes your identity. There's so much more. One of the other things I want to get into is purpose. There's so much more to your purpose. You have far more of a significant role in God's eternal plan for man than you have ever taken ownership of in your life. You know that there's this, these are my last couple thoughts. There was this this study of this woman who was brutally murdered in the streets of New York City early in the morning back in the 60s. In the village of New York City, with dozens and people watching this woman, they all watched as she was brutally murdered in the streets. And there was nothing that it could do in time to get down to her. Did you know with 40 plus people watching, not a single person called the police? It's not because they didn't believe that the police should, but they all believed somebody else was calling. Wow. Did you know everything that's happening in our world is only happening because the church is allowing it?
Yeah.
Everything happening in our world is only happening because the church is allowing it. Because every church in every corner thinks the other church is praying for the needs of a community and nobody is praying for the needs of their community. No one is standing and ripping down the strongholds of poverty over the state of Maine. Nobody is standing over the injustice of the drug addiction and saying, unto this end, I will give my life to praying for the end of addiction and ending this onslaught of the spirit of death against the generation. Where are the people that will take ownership of the futility of this life and bring an end to the war of hell on man? It actually says this. It actually says that all this power that we believe that he has exists in us. And that through that power, everything has been placed under his feet. Are you guys with me? There's so much more to your purpose than you realize. The reality is we go, hey, everyone, let's go to Oak Fest. And the majority in the room are going, man, I know that you guys have an event, you need volunteers, but it's probably just going to end at that. I can't do it that day. But we don't understand that the majority of us that have that response to these things don't understand. No, we don't need volunteers. We need glory-soaked lovers of Jesus to come and emanate the beauty of God to a bunch of kids and to bring joy that would actually break in on their lives. You get what I'm saying? There's so much more to these things that we're doing. Lastly, this, there's so much more freedom. The ability to experience life without the baggage and fear that sabotages our joy. He has so much more for you, and there's so much healing that's available. When we take into consideration the more that's available, it adds to our days, our trials, and our hurdles. It adds purpose. It adds purpose to the mundane, a purpose that we bind ourselves to and take ownership for. Listen, if there's areas of sin in your life, one of the reasons why we're trying to run from the sin of our lives is because many of us don't understand that there's a vision worth taking ownership of. So we try to run from our problems, taking ownership, inviting people in them to conquer them. So many times we're fighting for ourselves and our marriages instead of fighting for each other because we've lost the vision of our marriage. And so the only vision I have is for me, not for you. And so what we do is we fight for our own honor instead of we fight for the honor of the vision that God has brought our covenant into. Are we okay? When we understand that there's so much more, we'll understand that I don't care how hard it gets, let's freaking fight for the more. I don't care what skeletons in your closet we need to face together, let's freaking stare them down because there's more. There's so much more, and it's not worth hiding everything in our lives. There's so much more. It's not worth running from everything in our lives and changing everything in our lives just to hide it so that we can live comfortably when there's so much more we have to be provoked into. We got to take ownership of our lives and start to run the race that has been set before us. So the next few weeks, we're going to get into there must be more. There's more to who God's called you to be. There's more to the one who has set you free. That rhymed. There's so much more to the life that God has set before us. And we got to stop living beneath what he's made available. Why don't you guys stand with me?